The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, everybody. Recruiting Animal here. May 6, 2009. You know, when I was a little kid, I could never think beyond Y2K, the year 2000. And here we are, 2009, really nothing special, let me tell you that. You know, I want to talk about, you know what, there's some noise on the line already. I know who it is. Quiet over there. Listen, as many of you know, I taped an interview with the great Bill Vick just a few weeks ago. I'm sorry, I have to talk to you about it again, because I got some feedback. A lot of it was just the normal stuff, you know, the email, hi, Recruiting Animal, your day has finally come. Bill Vick's interview has exposed you as the loser you really are. I get that kind of stuff all the time. Only thing, it's not Bill Vick's context, let's say. But I got some of my so-called friends commenting this time, too. Jennifer McClure, the Cincy recruiter. Listen what she wrote on Twitter. She said, the Animal Recruiting Show, all about spiritual liberation, like I said it was. She says, who'd have thunk it? And she puts a little smiley at the end of that, as if it's going to keep me from getting mad. I got to watch my voice. It's dying completely from this show. I got Jerry on screaming for me, but I have to control myself. Next person who commented was Papa John Sumser, at John Sumser on Twitter. He said the Recruiting Animal on Bill Vick was like Susan Boyle, only not inspirational. Hey, I guess he means that I'm like Susan Boyle, who can't sing. And Susan Boyle, for those of you, I don't know how you could not know, she's the out of shape, out of style, frumpy woman who was on the British version of the American Idol. Thank you, John Sumser. What's Susan Boyle, who can't sing, who's not inspirational? But look, these guys don't get it. The Recruiting Animal Show is not only spiritual, it's also 100 times more inspirational than Susan Boyle will ever be. And let me explain, I won't go on too long. My show, everybody, it's like science. And science is humble. Before anything else, science is humble. Science says you can't just mouth off and claim that something is true. You got to prove it. And even then, it's only true until better ideas appear. That's right. You guys all went to school. You learned it just like me. Now think about it, though. I want you to draw some conclusions. If our ability to grasp the truth is so limited, your value as a human being can't be based on knowing everything, because that's absolutely impossible. You see what I'm saying? Science values imperfect knowledge, so it gives you the right to be imperfect, too. And what a relief that is. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You can come on this show and say, I don't know, and I don't care, and excuse me, fellow recruiters, I was wrong. And you can still like yourself, and you can still say, I'm worthy of respect. John Sumser, he thinks Susan Boyle is inspiring because she tells the world that a loser can actually achieve something, and it's true. But I, my friends, am more inspiring because I'm telling you that you can be a loser, you can stay a loser, and you can still be a somebody. I'm telling you that you don't have to achieve anything. I'm telling you that you can be a holy fool. Just like me, just like Jerry, and just like Maureen. I'm sure they'll be glad to hear that. I didn't warn them, but it's true. You can admit your limits and set your soul free. Now, I want to tell you about my guest for today. He has not come here to put his best foot forward. He has come here all the way from England because he wants to breathe the air of freedom, the air of freedom that's on. Well, let me introduce him first. His name is Bill Boorman. Bill Boorman. It's hard to say, at least for me. He trains recruiters. And you know why or how he came on this show? I already told you why. I didn't have to beg him. I didn't have to drag him here like everybody says. I have to drag my guest to this show. No way. He called me. Why? Because he knows that if you want to make a mark on the recruiting world in North America, you've got to run the gauntlet on. Jerry, are you there? What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Wow, something went wrong with that music. Bill Boorman, are you there? Bill Boorman. Oh, you're there. Thank goodness. I've been stood up enough. Bill, you're there, right?
I don't know
why
that might be.
I don't know. But welcome to the show, Bill. I don't know if you recognize that last tune. That was supposed to be God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols.
Indeed.
Okay, so how do you say your name, Bill? That's the first thing. I've got to
Boorman.
Tell you, there's tons of people here. How do you say it again?
Boorman, two O's. Boorman,
okay,
with two O's.
Boorman, but you don't really pronounce the R. It's like Boorman, right?
You pronounce the R.
Okay, look, I want you to raise your right hand and say after me. Are you ready?
I'm ready for you.
My name is Bill Boorman.
My name is Bill Boorman.
And I am imperfect.
And I am imperfect.
And I don't have to have the last word on anything.
And I don't have to have the last word on anything.
Good, Bill. We'll see how you do. Bill runs the Bill Boorman Consultancy in England. He's not from Canada. He's not from the United States. But he is in the Anglosphere. I don't know if that makes me chauvinistic saying that, but it's true. His URL is BillBoorman.co.uk. That's BillBoorman.co.uk. Bill, why don't you just have BillBoorman.com? Does someone else have that already?
No, nobody has it. .co.uk. Like to be British. Proud of it.
Yeah, but it's just complicated. That's not good marketing, in my opinion. I'm going to teach you a lesson while you're
I'm
here. And you're humble, so you're going to listen. What'd you say?
I'm a salesman, not a marketeer.
Yeah, okay. But you do. What you do is teach third-party recruiting firms in the UK and Europe how to do the job. Am I right?
You're correct.
Now, listen, does it make you feel more sophisticated that you've got an English accent? Do people show you more respect, at least over here?
A little bit more welcoming, a bit more interested, but I have to work a bit harder to get proven.
Oh, really? Do people doubt you because you're English?
People doubt everyone who's everywhere but American.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the last question about England. Does it make you feel good that James Bond is English? Does that serve as a source of inspiration for you personally?
Every time.
I think it's true. Okay. You know what? No, hold on. I want to do the sing-along. You know, J.P. O'Donnell, I know you know who she is. She was on the show last week. She really believes, as I do, that a sing-along really gets the show going. Okay? So are you ready to sing, Bill?
Fire up the words.
Okay, now do you know
You're about
punk rock...
to discover why we think Susan Boyle's good if you want me singing. I'll tell you that now.
Do you know Punk Rock Girls by the Queers?
I don't.
40 Boys and 40 Nights by the Donnas?
Nope.
My Girl Bill, remember that one?
Nope.
There's a lot of songs about Bill. What about God Save the Queen? That was on a few
God
minutes
Save
ago.
God Save the Queen, I can do
we'll
that.
Sing a little of it. The Americans can sing My Land of Liberty. You know they stole the tune. They got okay, you and me, but we both got a queen, okay, Bill? If nobody else joins in, we'll go ahead. God save our gracious queen. Where are you?
Long
hey, Americans. Live our noble queen. God save our queen. Okay, that's
bom,
enough.
Bom, bom, bom.
No, no instrumentals. Okay, Bill, let's get right into it. You know what? A few more introductory things. I noticed on your Bill Vick video, which I watched at extremerecruiting.com, and also on your tin hat videos. That's how you brand, you know, tin hat is a person who's mentally ill, right?
That's the one. In the wars at the minute, in the trenches.
Okay, right. You guys who are listening, there's like a tin hat brigade. It means
tin
that someone
foil
thinks.
Tin foil hat.
Oh, tin foil hat. Tin I got to tell you, that's awfully close, Bill. Bill calls it tin hat. I see. That's like a Tommy, a British soldier with
that's
one of those.
One.
Okay, but that's not what we think of. I thought it was like one of those things that those nuts wear. They hide in a corner to get away from the spacemen. And I'm going on too long, but I just.
People.
Okay, that's right. So, but you wear, I noticed this, you wear a striped shirt in both of your, you know, striped suit in all the videos and a white shirt without a tie. Is that part of your branding strategy, that look, sort of formal but informal at the same time?
Formal but informal for video, formal and tie in the office, always the same.
Okay, so we'll get to that stuff in the office. I noticed your education, you said that you went to the University of Life. Am I right about that?
That's the place,
So you believe then that a recruiter doesn't have to be a professional in any particular field to be a good recruiter in that field, right?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Okay, Bill, before we get into that, I know people are finally saying he's getting around to the real meat, but I'd just like to run through the people who came here to say hi to you, and we'll do it as quickly as possible. Area code 441-604, I don't know who that is. Does that ring any bells for anyone? Is that you, Bill?
That's not me. I suspect it might be a lady called Tracy Dunn.
Tracy, are you there? No? Okay. Jerry, you want to say hi to Bill?
Hey, Bill. It's Jerry Albright.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Tell Bill your URL, please.
Verbalsummary.com. Check
okay.
it out.
Okay. Verbalsummary.com. Jerry Albright. He helped me with the introduction. Area code 513.
Here, Cincinnati. Maureen.
Hey, she's back. Bill, do you know Maureen Sherrup, the queen bee of telephone sourcing?
Cincy Recruiter?
No. Maureen Sherrup.
Right.
Maureen Sherrup, the queen bee of telephone sourcing.
I know the name.
Hey, Bill. Nice to meet you.
Okay.
Good
now you know. Namesourcer.com. Well, too much time. I've taken up too much time. Let's keep going quickly. Thank you. Welcome back, Maureen. 770, area code 770. Carl Chapman, right?
Yes, it is. Hi,
say
Bill.
Hi to Bill.
Hi, Carl.
He's the executive restaurant recruiter, CECsearch.com. Area code 612.
Paul DeBettings, MN Headhunter.
MN Headhunter, my enemy on Twitter, my friend on the show.
Yep.
He's very important. MN is Minnesota, Bill. Minnesota Headhunter. Area code 718. Want to say hi to Bill?
David Manister. Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Hi, very good.
Do you know who Dave Manister is? He's the kingfish of ERE. You're talking to the big stuff here, okay?
You
know what ERE
names on here today. This is
surprising. You know what ERE is over there, Bill?
I don't. Executive recruitment.
Oh no! Okay. Well, we just got to wrap it up
now.
Area code 111.
Big enough, Michael.
111. I thought you had stuff over there in Europe. I thought you were worldwide.
We do. We're just not full of TLAs.
Okay. Area code 111. Want to say hi to Bill? No. Eric, code 954. Want to say hi to Bill?
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Who is it? Come on.
It's
Claudia Faust. What's your URL? ImprovedExperience.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you call in for a reason, Claudia? Did you want to ask Bill something special?
No, I wanted to learn something today. I had an empty space in the back of my brain. I wanted to learn something.
Okay. Does anybody want to say hi to Bill that I haven't called on? No. Okay, Bill. So let's get into it. You said you don't have to be a professional. You don't have to have any education at all to be a good recruiter. What does it take to be a good recruiter? A personality?
I don't even think personality. I've worked with every different type of personality that's been successful. What it takes is hard work and graft, number one. Number two, plenty of activity. And number three, actually someone who's not too analytical, but I would say sharp. Is what we're looking for.
What does that mean? Not analytical, but sharp.
Not someone who thinks too much about what they're doing. Not somebody who overthinks it. But
somebody who's ready to go into action right away. Is that what you're saying?
Somebody who gets in and gets on. Somebody who will learn as they go by picking the phone up, by talking to people, by meeting with people.
Someone who learns by doing. Is that right?
Learns by doing. Learning style is not important, but somebody who's actually prepared to get on and is not limited by fear.
Okay. So do you use, and since you've got a clear idea of the kind of person you're looking for, how do you interview people for a recruiting role? Is there some specific question?
Yeah, I've got
a
very
like
simple interview. I won't go into it now, but it's available if anyone wants the form. I have 10 questions that I ask everyone. The interview takes about 20 minutes, and it's to find out about them as a person. If they're the right person, I then look at their experience. But what I mean is...
Can you give us a bit of a... What are the most important questions? What are the key questions out of...
The most important question is the first one I ask, which is what questions do you want to ask me? Because if I'm looking for a good recruiter, they ask good questions. Short, medium, and long-term goals, because they're going to need goals to sustain the pain they're going to go through once they get beyond 3 or 4 months. What they actually think a job in recruitment involves to make sure it matches what I'm offering. It's these kind of questions. Nothing complicated, but really about them as a person, and are they the right person for the organisation? If they're the right person, then it's about skill, but it's always person first.
Okay, but you said that you want them to ask you questions if they don't know that much about recruiting yet, since they don't have to come from this field. What are they going to ask you? What kind of
answers? I'm not worried about whether they ask me questions about recruitment, but somebody who's going to be a good recruiter is able to ask questions. The first question they ask me, if it's about salary package or hours or something like that, probably not going to be the right person. Someone who becomes a good recruiter, first question will be, right, what are you looking for then? I'll tell them that, and they'll then feed that back to me. That's what I'm looking for. Or somebody who can just has actually thought about the job and not just bang their CV off to 50 people. That's what I want.
So is that the ideal response in an interview? Ask the interviewer what he's looking for, then try to match your skills, try to sell yourself on the basis of those requirements, or determine if it's a match. Is that what you're saying?
For a recruiter, definitely. The main ability I'm looking for is someone who has a natural inclination towards sales. Everything else I can teach, the desire has to be there.
Okay. Anybody want to comment on that before we move on?
I'm wondering about percentages, Animal. What kind of, Bill? What kind of percentages do you meet up with? For instance, you interview 20 people. How many have a natural inclination towards sales?
Okay, I would generally, if I'm looking for recruiters, I do it on an open day, and I'll meet anything up to 30 or 40 people, and expect about 1 in 8 to come out right. I work more on ratios than percentages, but about 1 in 8 will be right for me to proceed to set up another interview to then look at them as in terms of are their skills and background right.
Did you say you interview 40 people in one day?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go through exactly the same questions, and it's really about identifying who the right personalities are. I've done anything up to 40 people in a day. Hard work.
What are you doing in batches, 10 at a time?
One at a time.
Oh, really? Okay.
One at a time, 20-minute slots.
What kind of personality traits given an inclination towards
sales? Wake up. He just told us, didn't he?
Personality not important. I've worked with people and trained people who have been successful, have been completely dull, and people with the personality of Animal, which you can read in as you like.
I'm dull.
That's there. Think about the people who call in the show that you say are good. You've got every kind of personality, from the screamers to the quiet thinkers. They are successful recruiters, and they will have one base. Some research we've done in the UK, there's one basic requirement of someone who becomes successful in their career in recruitment, and that is that they actually love recruitment. Personality, not an issue.
Hmm. Carl Chapman, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. Enough of an answer. Maureen, you finished?
I have another question, if you don't mind. I'm wondering about the fear factor. What kind of things do people fear?
I think there's things you can overcome by coaching people, like fear of rejection and so on, but some people really... It's the type of work. I think it's the getting on the phone and talking to new customers, talking to people they don't know. And some people have a natural inclination to doing that. They're basically nosy people who like to chat all day and make good recruiters. People you find out, people you find at checkouts of supermarkets do that for a hobby. I'm talking about that's the kind of person I'm looking for, someone who's going to talk and not be frightened to ask questions and not feel like they're being impersonal or
so
rude.
Would you recruit a barber?
Do I recruit a barber? Do you know what?
Yeah.
Was that the question for me, Animal, or somebody?
Yes, it's for you. Yes, you're the guest.
Do I recruit a barber?
Would you take a barber?
Do you know what? I would take anything, and I have taken a barber, and barbers have one of the best sales abilities around, and I'll tell you why. Every time you go for a haircut, you always leave with something more than a haircut. they upsell all the time because they ask questions while they cut your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wasn't thinking of that. You just said you like people who like to gossip, and they're known for that. Okay,
yeah.
Maureen, are you done?
Perhaps not gossip, chat, people who like to talk.
Okay, same thing. Anyway, you said that one of the biggest statements I'd say you said. A recruiting firm is a sales organization. A recruiting firm is a sales organization. And the most important thing in a recruiting firm is managing pipeline. You have to talk to enough clients and enough candidates and organize your day into power hours in which you sell or contact candidates. I see that, and I've reviewed a lot of your material as the key message of the Bill Boorman consulting firm. Am I right?
Yeah, 100% correct.
Go ahead. Elaborate, please.
I'll elaborate on it. The biggest thing when we work on, when we go into businesses, and some are being successful and some are failing when we actually go in, is usually not that people aren't working hard, but they're just not organized about their work, and they end up doing lots of half jobs. Now, lots of something equals loads of nothing, which is zero revenue. What we do is...
Hold on, wait a sec. Lots of nothing equals lots of something? Is that what you said?
No, lots of something equals loads of nothing.
Lots of something. So you're doing too many things, not focused enough? Is that what
that means? Not finishing anything. Doing half a sourcing job, not getting hold of some people, then trying to fit a few sales calls in, then trying to look at some CVs that have come in, then try and talk about a vacancy. What we do is try and break people down to say, right, okay, prioritize your day. When you're searching, this is 360-degree recruiters, but when you're searching, when you're matching, and I think searching and matching is two different disciplines. When you're selling to clients, sell. When you're selling to candidates, sell. When you're doing follow-up, but break it down into portions of the day and concentrate on that job at that time.
Okay, what did you say? Searching and matching are two different functions?
Searching and matching are two different things. And it took me a little while to figure this one out. But what it is searching is looking for resumes or CVs. Matching is talking to the people about the jobs. And I actually view that as two different things.
Okay, matching means to me that you look at the resume and see if it's a match for your requirements. Then you call the person. You're saying calling the person is what you're calling match. Networking is matching.
Calling the person, talking to them about the job, talking to them about what it's right. I probably have a different view in terms of how I look at recruitment, in that one of the things I look at is it's not okay. The easiest thing to control in any recruitment company is the assignments and jobs that you bring in, because you determine who you sell to. What we need to be doing is looking at the database and saying, not have we got the right jobs, have we got the right people for the jobs, but have we got the right jobs for the people? And if we haven't, the candidate base that we've got, we need to be talking to them all the time about where they're up to, what leads they've got, where they've been out for interview, what's going on, and really build relationships with those candidates and then go out and find the right opportunity for them.
So hold on a second. Does anybody else want to ask a question at this point? I have one, but I'll open up for somebody else. Anybody else got something to say?
I have a quick question, Ms. Claudia.
Claudia?
Hi, Bill. I'm curious to know, you say that searching and matching are different functions. How about training recruiters to do candidate development versus business development? Do you find that if they're skilled at one, they're skilled at both, or they might be better at one than the other?
I think sometimes they could be better at one than the other, but quite often it's how you actually present it. Some people, usually the reason people are more comfortable talking to candidates is they don't view that as a sales process. I actually think it is. I think everything we do in a recruitment business is selling, and that's not a dirty word. I think, but what I think you need to do is effectively, the most successful recruiters are able to work on a 360 basis because they understand both the candidate and the client point of view. I think once they've done that, that's the time to then say, okay, I want to go away and be a resourcer. Just to give you an idea on that, something we've done with one of the businesses we work with is we've changed the model around in that instead of the consultants running the resourcing team, the resourcing team run the consultants.
Hold on, resourcing team, that's sourcing in our language.
That's sourcing
research, right?
In your business, yeah.
Okay.
Traditionally what would happen is you join a recruitment firm and you become a researcher or a resourcer. And when you've got a bit of experience and get any good at that, you then get given a new job of being a consultant. You then start talking to clients and matching candidates. What we've done is reverse that. And I'm not saying it would work for every business, but actually saying the most, if we source the candidates and build the right database, the consultant's job is about selling that database rather than trying to build a database around every single opportunity.
Where does the database come from?
The database, the database comes from all the different sources of, effectively, if you've got one assignment, you can
advertise. Bill, let me tell you something. Wait. Shoot. Don't say effectively on this show. I don't like that word, okay?
I'll write it up and dump it. Effectively, I won't say again.
I noticed it on your site as well. Don't use that word. It's overused. But go ahead, okay? It's unnecessary.
Right. No, that's fine. Effectively, I won't say it. There'll be another word in a minute you'll be picking up, I'm sure. But what we're looking at in terms of building the database is your candidates are going to come from all your usual sources. But what I feel that what traditionally has been the model over the last 5 or 6 years around the world, where it's been a very buoyant market, is the way recruitment companies have worked is they've taken in an assignment. The first thing they've done is post that out to multiple job boards using whatever tool that they're using. Then they've got more responses, stuck it in their database. The candidates that have been right for that job have been spoken to. The rest have been forgotten about. It's been a continuing process, and we've just built and built and built more and more of a database of candidates, as well as bringing in all the things like all our LinkedIn connections, all our Twitter connections, and all the other things people are using to get hold of candidates. What I actually believe works better is to get a dedicated pool in your area of the market and actually go and find work for those people, but get to know them properly in terms of what they want and what their capabilities are.
Okay, so hold on a second. If anybody else has questions, let me know. But I'm confused. Are you saying that you like to be a niche recruiter, like Jerry is IT, Carl is a restaurant recruiter? Is that what you're saying? Pick a niche, then go out and build a database and talk to those people, and then go out and market them? Is that essentially what you're saying?
No, I think you can start with one candidate. I think markets tend to dictate what niches you're in. I think what you can be is you can run a recruitment business which has a number of niches. So you could have a restaurant recruiter working with a hospitality recruiter, working with a banking recruiter, each running their individual desk as a niche. They work to the same rules in terms of how they recruit and what they do. The difference is usually one of terminology.
So, but you recommend niche recruiting for each individual recruiter then, right? So they
niche
know
recruiting,
this.
Yeah.
Oh, that is that. So, like, what about being a generalist and working on all kinds of things? Not efficient and effective?
The only way for me it could be effective is if you only work at one assignment at a time. So if you're a specialist headhunter or a specialist recruiter and what you're doing is just working for one assignment, becoming a semi-expert at that, and what you're an expert at is a recruiter. There's no reason why you can't recruit from one field to another. What I don't think you could do, for me, is run multiple projects in multiple sectors, because you just end up with a massive database which has too many different candidates and too many different areas of focus.
So let me ask you one more question about that. Are you saying then if someone is a niche recruiter, like let's say again Jerry or Carl, they could be working the same territory of candidates for a number of different positions? Is that what you're talking about?
I believe they can, yeah.
Okay.
Unless the contract says different.
Huh? Anybody want to talk Bill about anything he's mentioned so far?
No? I can't understand a word he's saying.
Are you kidding me? Why? Is it too muffled or is it the
kidding.
Sound?
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I thought maybe it was his accent. He is speaking English, you know. Anybody else? No. I think he's saying some interesting stuff here. I thought you guys would be really getting angry or something like that.
No, I how could I get angry with somebody who's obviously talking about the need for synergy at your desk?
Between searches.
Yeah,
synergy between
running
searches.
Running wild with any candidate that comes in, I mean, if your database is just a reactionary database, then you're starting off just in a defensive position. I mean,
I like the way Jerry put that. He's got a way with words. Don't you agree, Bill?
I agree with that, starting from a defensive position. The reactive point in terms of reactive database, I think, is important, because that's the way I've seen a lot of recruitment businesses really. What they've actually been doing is looking after a smaller number of clients. I could give you some stats from the UK, which I'm sure would apply. If we look at the contract recruiting business, the average contractor's per company 6 months ago was 20. Now the average contractors per company is 5, which means we need effectively need to be winning many more clients than we were previously. Now, the way to do that, the way to build that, is to have a small base of contractors which we sell out into the market, rather than just constantly building up a database who we don't have jobs for. It's a focus area where I think a lot of recruitment businesses go wrong.
Okay, I don't understand what you just said. Does anybody else want to comment on it?
I'm not sure what you mean by contract. You're talking about full-time jobs that you have a contract to fill?
No,
contractors.
I'm talking about contractors on that basis. But effectively, what I mean...
Don't say effectively, okay?
You're going to owe me money if you keep saying it. I'm going to owe you some money at the end of the day. I will be writing out some dollars.
It's like talking dirty. Anyway, here's my problem. I just want to move on. But what you just said, you don't believe in a reactionary database. And I thought, Jerry, I like the way he put that. But now you're saying that it's not good to build your database endlessly. And what you told us before was that your database drives your searches. Is that right? You build up a certain expertise in a certain area, then you don't ditch it and go on to another search. You use those people to build your business. Is that essentially what you're saying?
That's correct. You go back to the first place you look is in the people, the database and the people you know. When I started out as a recruiter, I feel like a real dinosaur a lot of the time. But when I started,
don't mumble. You're talking all the way from England. You got to be heard, okay?
I'm talking to the receiver. I'm gonna shoot it out. When I started out as a recruiter, I was allowed to work on 4 candidates. That was it. I sold those 4 candidates out, and I got them work, and then I could get some more. I go and see recruitment businesses now, and one of the most common things they'll say to me is, oh, we've got an applicant shortage. We haven't got enough people. We haven't got the right people for our jobs. I'll ask the next question, how many people you got in your database? And they'll turn around and say, oh, we've got 200,000. We've got 200,000 contacts. That's not an applicant shortage. What we haven't got is jobs for those applicants, either because the database is too diverse or we don't actually know the people who are in it. You can't have a relationship with 200,000 people at the end of the day. You can't understand them. What you need is a small base where you know the people, you know what they're looking for.
Really? That's interesting. And so exploit your database, your current database. That's one of your main principles, is it?
That's one of my main principles, is always look at your database first and let your availability of candidates dictate where you're doing your sales and marketing activity.
Okay, let's say your URL again. It's billboorman.co.uk. He's in England, everybody, but you'll come over here, right, if enough companies invite you to North America. Am I right about
that? I'd love to come over.
Okay. Special deal for people who tell they heard about you on the Recruiting Animal show?
Special deal for Recruiting Animals, particularly if they're tweeted from you.
You know, there's some big people listening to the show. You just got a message from the Boolean Black Belt.
Okay,
he said, great recruiting talk on the Animal Show. Hello, Glenn. Glenn Cathy. You don't know him either, do you?
I know the name. I know people from Twitter.
He's on Twitter, and these are messages that are coming from Twitter. Mike Alkars. He's my new friend from Buffalo. I don't know how to say his name. I think Alkars is right. He said it used to be Alkarski. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything, or should I go on? Here's your chance, listeners. Anyone can send me a message over Twitter as well. I keep my eyes on it. Nope, nobody's saying anything. Do you want to say anything, Bill? Should I hand it over to you, or should I?
No, you move it on. They're either speechless, shocked, or don't understand me, or gone away.
Yeah, just don't understand what you said, but I will go on. Now, since you also said recruiters have to be on the phone, that's very important. You also said, if I'm not mistaken, that recruiters hide out online. So let me ask you this. How important is Twitter, blogging, mobile phone texting, and internet sourcing to recruiting?
You're going to hate me for saying this word, but I'm going to use it again. It's important if it's effective. It's got to be measured. You've got to look and say, what business return are we getting back? I'm not talking about the social time people might want to do in their own time. In work time, I want to know, is your LinkedIn profile getting you a return in terms of either clients, new information? Are we increasing the brand by working on Twitter? And that works. You know, that's from my business. That's why I'm talking to you today. 5 weeks ago.
I thought it was because you like me.
I didn't know the animal. The animal didn't know me. We've twittered a little bit, and now you know who I am. And that's we've both gone out and looked at each other. That's
now,
grandma.
I have to tell you, let me just tell you something. I got to say something here. Just clicked on me. I didn't know who you were. You sent me an email. And then I watched your video, the Bill Vick video on ExtremeRecruiting.com, and I saw you had another video on YouTube. And I did get a very good sense of you, and I liked you from those videos. So, you know, that actually isn't a bad way of marketing oneself.
It's great marketing. I think it's right for marketing, but what I mean by hiding is the number of times I walk into recruitment offices, and I actually think I've walked into a library. You know, it's nobody drop any pins time, because all I can hear is keyboards tapping all day. I then go in, and one of the things I measure in businesses is phone time, and I don't care whether that phone time's to candidates or clients. How much conversation time are we having, whether it's with candidates or clients? And what I'm seeing is increasingly that's reducing, and I'm seeing lots of email time. I'll tell you something interesting that happened recently. I spoke at an HR conference with HR managers, and in the coffee break, we've obviously had quite a recession here. I said, you must be getting calls from guys like me all the time. And they actually said, you know what? I have less calls now than I did 6 months ago because nobody's talking to me. What I'm finding,
I thought it was because half of the recruiters have left the business. Maybe that's 5, why.
000. About 5,000.
Personal branding and tweeting now, Animal. I mean, that's all people are doing. So
I got to tell you, Bill, I'm sure Jerry thinks you're one of his heroes all of a sudden.
I love hearing other successful recruiters talk about how to really do this job.
I appreciate that, Jerry.
Hi, Carl.
Good to speak to you. For me, the most, when I'm talking about phone time, I'm not anti-Twitter, I'm not anti-LinkedIn or anything like that. I think it's important. But I really do want to see that we don't lose. In society, I think we've lost the ability to have a conversation and just all kinds of things like proper interviewing skills, proper understanding of briefs, just being able to talk to a candidate and understand.
No one knows what a brief is here. No one knows what a brief is.
Okay,
a
vacancy or an assignment or a job, whichever word you want to pick out. That's what I would call a brief. Brief's not your pants or whatever.
Okay. So hold on. Let's just go there. How to talk to a candidate. What is it about talking to a candidate? What's hard about talking to a candidate?
Well, first one is talk to them. You know, not just blasting out lots of emails, but if I identify someone who's interesting, either for a brief that I've got or they've got something in their CV that looks
okay,
right.
Okay, you've got another slogan. I just want to bring it in. Face mail, not email. Am I right about
correct.
That?
You're right.
What does that
You're
mean?
Right. What that means is, you know, too many times I've said, right, have you talked to the candidates about the job opportunity, about the vacancy? Consultants will come back to me and say, oh, we've sent them an email, we've sent them the brief. How do you get any emotion or feel from an email, and how do you build a relationship from an email? And I'm not knocking using email, but what I really want to see my consultants doing is having a conversation. Even if it's just to have a conversation and saying, where are you up to? Where else have you been for interview? What's changed in your circumstances? Because then it's as much about matching the person to the job as the skills, because you know who they are. I do an exercise with one of the businesses I work with where I actually put together job briefs and candidates where the jobs have been successful. And I give them the CV and the job spec and say, okay, I want everyone in the room to mark down what percentage chance you think that candidate has of getting that job. Most of them mark it down as 20%, 30%, because that's what the paper tells them. What got them the job was the conversation, something else you found out. Or if it didn't get that, the art of referral. How do you get candidates? Just saying, job's not right for you, who else do you know? The art of getting clients by selling to them about a candidate and saying, okay, if this isn't the right candidate, if he's not right for you, who else do you know who might be interested? Basic networking skills on the phone.
Hold on a second. So you'll ask a client, when you market somebody, if that person says, that guy's no good for me, you'll say, do you know anybody else who's looking right now?
All the time. Not in that way, because that would be a closed question. I always ask, who else do you know? And what I mean by that, Animal, there's a lot of business generated this way, is when it's on a human level and you're talking about one person, you're saying, look, he's a good guy, I'd really like to help him out. Who else do you know who might be interested? all kinds of department heads know other department heads. HR managers know other HR managers, or they know what businesses are doing well and badly. That then makes my next call much easier because I'm going in on an intro. And pretty quickly, I'm networking my contacts and building business, but
you know,
I'm doing
what,
it on the telephone.
Like, okay, it sounds like an assumptive close to me. I always find those rub me the wrong way. Maybe I'm oversensitive, Bill, but when someone says, who do you know who's looking?
There.
How do you know I know somebody who's looking?
Yeah.
Anybody else feel the same way?
No. I feel that you're wrong, Animal.
Okay, fine, figures. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
If we talked about something completely different, take that out of the sphere. If you were talking to me now, I said, look, Jerry, I've got this product. Who do you know who might be interested? Jerry may turn around to me and say, well, actually, or are you interested in this? Jerry may turn around and say, look, I haven't got a use for you in my business at the minute, Bill. If I said to him, who else do you know might be worth me giving a call? He'd then start giving me the list of all the people on that network. Now, when I rang them and said, oh, I've been talking to Jerry Albright, they'd go, okay, I recognize the name. I'll talk to you. It develops business by recommendation, but that's a personal thing. If I just send you an email saying, can you tell me who to ring up about this candidate, you're probably going to delete it. And
uh-huh.
That's the conversation skill.
See,
okay,
email and Twitter are making this, they're letting recruiters just become so lazy, thinking that they're making presentations out here, and they're just adding to the chatter that's just nonstop. You need to get on the phone with people.
I agree entirely. And I think that's whether it's candidates or clients. I think you get your people from referral. The worst thing you're going to get is a little bit more knowledge. That makes you a bit clever.
Okay,
bit
hold on.
Clever.
Let me ask a few quick questions here.
Sure.
So, first of all, these people you're calling, are you only calling candidates when prompted to by a job order or a position or a brief that might be suitable for them? Or do you make what Danny Cahill calls institutional calls? You've got a certain database that you mentioned, and you prefer a small, a cadre or something of great candidates, and you touch base with them all the time just to
I just want to pick you up on one thing. One thing. Everyone who's got a job is a great candidate. I've just got to find the right employer, and I believe that passionately, and I think this is the problem. Too many people try and be superstar recruiters and say, we only want the best candidates in the market. Anyone who's got a job who can get a job is the right person at that time. So my database, I will talk to anyone who loosely, and I'm saying loosely, if I look when I'm searching, I look for people. I look for reasons why people can do the job, not reasons why they can't. And I think when I look at a lot of consultants searching, what they're doing is that they spend a long time reading a CV, looking at a CV and saying, oh no, he can't do this because of this, because of that. All I want to do is look at a CV, see the one or two reasons why they might be able to do it, pick the phone up and talk to them. It is an opportunity. This is what it's about. Tell me about you. What do you want next? What do you need next? The biggest part of the match is what you want out of your next move offered by that company. If you match as a person to that organization, now we'll start looking at whether you're right for it in terms of skills and background. And the conversation opens that up. I also have candidates that I talk to all the time because they love to tell me what's going on in the market. They love to tell me
where
they've been.
And are you able to help them back?
You're always able to help people back in terms of giving them a bit of direction, bit of advice. There may be the opportunity there for them at some stage. Everybody helps everybody in this business.
Okay, hold on. We're running out of time. I have a lot of questions. Sure. The other thing is, I'm shocked what you just said. You seem to say you check the culture of the candidate before you check the skills. You want to make a match between the company and the candidate in terms of their frame of mind or values before you look at the skills.
Correct.
Are you unbelievable? You're saying that?
Yeah,
Give me some examples.
I want to make sure I've got two things I look at. First of all, I interview my candidates. That's number one. And that's whether that's on the telephone or face-to-face. I don't just process CVs and push them about. The area that I look at, first of all, is what I call IDs. That's eight things about the candidate that they're looking for from the next move that would make something right. Because at the end of the day, that is what gets them the job, not their skills and experience. Their skills and experience might get them the first interview. And the way in which I get my ratios right is making sure the candidates I'm putting forward want the jobs they're going for. that then starts to make the, that then makes me stand out. It also means that at the end of the day, the clients I'm sending them to buy into them because they're passionate about the job and because they say, this is what I want. They also work
hard. You know what? You blow me away. I just can't believe it. Does Jerry or Carl have any? Didn't we disagree with JT last week when she said something similar?
Well, I don't know.
That skills are secondary. I won't go on too long on this, Bill. I'll come back to it. But people don't have a passion for a job. They want to get a job for practical reasons, usually, especially now. If they've got a job already and you're recruiting them, it has to be interesting. Right now,
you're wrong there,
they just want to work.
I think you're wrong there, Animal. I actually think in the current market, it is harder to move people from one job to another because the good candidates are invariably working, and those that are working, they've got a whole different set of requirements to the requirements they had 6 or 9 months ago.
Okay, hold on. Carl, I'll bring you in a second. So you're saying you don't use unemployed candidates?
No, I'm not saying at all I don't use unemployed candidates. What I'm saying is the majority of the candidates who are getting the job are working. Not saying I don't use – I'll use any candidate and I'll use any client because at the end of the day, I don't have any prejudices. I'm about making placements.
Carl? Were you saying something? Somebody was saying something there? Now they're shutting up. I'll just give you a last chance. Okay. That wasn't you, Jerry, right? Maureen, do you have anything to say? Sleeping? Okay. I got a couple of questions from Twitter, okay, since nobody's... First, I want to say hi to Michael Glenn. He posted your URL on Twitter, at GlennList. That's his Twitter name. Bill, you should link up with him. And Fish Dogs, Craig Fisher... has sent me, I don't know, everybody else is sending me messages over regular Twitter. He had to send a direct message. So let me see if I understand what he says.
Yeah.
What does Bill think about focusing on recruiting managers or executives to build future clients? Yeah, recruiting or, yeah. I don't know what he's asking me. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think what he's talking about is focusing on, if you're focusing on your candidates that are line managers or going to be line managers or senior managers, if you look after them, they're going to become your clients.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're building the right relationships, you're actually building your clients of tomorrow because they're going to be hired either through you or through somebody else. But if your relationship is right, they're going to become clients. So I think actually you have to think of everybody you come into contact with as a recruitment business. I think one of the biggest things we do wrong when we could really use technology is how we deal with the candidates we reject. You know, the biggest complaint I hear from candidates is agency contacted me or sent them my CV, didn't hear a word from them. I think we have to look after everyone, even if it's just having a pack you send out to people by email that says, we can't help you at the moment, but here's some good advice, here's some good job sites, here's some good places to go and talk to, because you never know who's going to become your clients. And I've had many clients over the years that have come back to me and rung me and said, you looked after me when I needed it, even though you didn't get me the job. I thought you...
Are you serious?
Very serious, because I was interested in them as a person, because that was part of my interview. I didn't just talk about skills. I talked about them and what they were about, and then I talked about their skills.
Okay,
and,
when you
and
tell...
They bought into that.
Before I forget, now you said before when you're asking for a referral... to another hiring manager, you said, I'd really like to help this guy. They're not stupid. They know you're trying to help yourself, not the candidate. Am I right or wrong?
No, I don't think you are. I think it's about the relationship. And when you've talked about a person and you've talked about them with a bit of passion and you've come across that way, you said, look, I really want to help him out. Who do you know? Some people will just dismiss you. Some of them will tell you. And it's the ones that tell you that help you build your network. But what I find is more people help you than don't. And that's exactly the same with candidates. More people refer candidates than don't.
How do you get referrals? What's your referral technique? Can you tell us, or would you rather save that for paying customers?
Referral techniques for candidates or clients?
Yeah, candidates.
Real simple. I talk to them and I ask. At the end of the every time I do a search, I'm looking for a number of things. Either lead for an opportunity of a company I should be talking to, or a right candidate for the job, or another candidate. If I see something which is slightly right on a CV, I pick the phone up and have a conversation. First thing I'll say to someone is, look, this may or may not be right. I'm giving you the opportunity to say no. This is why I thought this job might be right for you. tell me about what you want. At the end of that conversation, say, look, it's not right for you. I've picked you out because of your experience, the company you work for. Who else do you know who might be interested? Everybody knows someone who's looking for a job.
And do you tell them why it's not right for them?
I will tell them why I think it might not be right. But I'll also say to them, it's your choice. Look, I think this role looks right for you. Salary may not be, or the area may not be, or the market might not be quite right for you. But I wanted to give, and a line that I use a lot with my candidates and clients is, I wanted to give you the option to say no. That's not a pitch. That's something I believe in. I don't play God. I pick the phone up and have a conversation. Look, are you has anything changed? Are you interested in this? It keeps me in touch with the same people. It helps me building that client and candidate network.
No, but if you call someone out of the blue, I guess you're not usually calling people out of the blue because you sort of have, just like Jerry and maybe some of the other people here, you've got your territory that you work on a regular basis.
Well, to a point, and people know you from brand, but probably 60 to 70% of the people we're calling is the first time we've had a conversation with them in the first instance. What
they
we have
still
is always
you,
a good, always
they'll still
a
give you referrals.
People.
They'll still give you referrals?
They'll give me referrals as long as, and this is the key thing when you're selling anything, whether to candidates or clients. Always when I pick the phone up, the first thing I think about is, what's the reason why this guy or this girl would want to talk to me? What's the reason? And I put that in my introduction. Everybody, the reason for the call today is, and I always use the word today, the reason for the call today is this, I've got this opportunity, or reason for the call today is I've got this candidate working in your market, really wanted to have a conversation with you about them. And they'll talk to me, and as long as the candidate is valid, the conversation is valid, when I say, right, I can really do your help here, people tend to help you. More people,
really?
You know, more people want to help you than don't want to help you. You get the odd one,
really?
And it'll be deliberately awkward, but generally people want to help people. You know, that's the way we're made up as human beings.
Claudia, is that true?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Anything else to add to that? You're the kind of nice person. She's a nice person that everybody likes. So,
so she'd help people. So she'd help people. And there's lots of Claudias. There's lots of people who are very willing to help people when you're talking about people.
Yeah. I was actually going to commend Bill for his comments about how you treat candidates and the effect that that has, not only on their willingness to come back to you when they're looking for another job in the future, but from the employer's perspective as well. I think that if you are focusing on helping to facilitate a great experience for the candidate as they go through that hiring process, and you're doing matchmaking very, very well, you're setting up the candidate-client relationship for a long-term retention, and that's really important.
Agreed entirely. I mean, I met a girl quite recently who I actually placed in a job about 17 years ago. She's now a head of trading at quite a big bank in London. And managing to keep her job at the minute, so she must be quite good. I placed her as an office junior in a banking environment, and she remembered that and how I dealt with her then, and said that was actually the most help I got whenever I went for an interview. And those you can't buy that kind of.
Took her a long time to get back here. Listen, I got to move on.
Okay.
I just want to say, you know, Maureen used to do this stuff for me. Blue Sky PR on Twitter. She says. Bill is absolutely on the money regarding taking time out to advise candidates who may not be able to help. Builds loyalty. And Craig Fisher says he liked your answer. Thank you. What is Michael Glenn saying here? It's harder to move candidates that are employed to jobs per something. I can't remember. Anyway, anybody else got something to say besides Claudia? Or I'm going to move on. Bill, I'm going to move on. We're running out of time. You said quite bluntly, cover letters are worthless. There's no time to read your pitch. It's all about your resume. That's what sells you. That's what gets you the job interview. Did you say that, Bill, yes or no?
No.
Oh, I thought you said that.
No, I think you might be looking at my LinkedIn group, but that's definitely not something I would say. I'll tell
you
what
sells
you.
Comment on cover
letter. The telephone. What I said is it's the experience that gets you the first interview. It's your personality that gets you the second. I very rarely talk about CVs. I quite often sell candidates without them. So you may have the wrong bill.
Okay, I got the wrong bill. What do you mean you sell candidates without the CV?
I have a conversation and talk about them. Now, invariably, what I'll do if I ring one of my customers who's got a requirement, first of all, if we spend enough time understanding the vacancy, 40, 45 minutes taking a job spec or a brief on the telephone, go back to them and say, look, I found someone I think's right for you. When can you see them? They'll quite often turn around and say, I'll see them next week. I'll send you a CV so you can interview them. But if the relationship is right, I build the trust. I don't rely on saying, tell you what I'll do. I'll send you 20 CVs down. You fish through them. You find them. This is where recruitment's changing. Certainly in the UK, what the recession's done is it's moved out the CV shifters and brought in the consultants, and I'm into that in my language, really.
Okay. And what about when...
I love it.
I love it. Anyway, when you're taking a job description, do you have any special tips that you want to pass on? Do you have any unique... You said you take 45 minutes.
Yeah. Maybe 45 minutes, but there's two things. One is structure. The things I look at when I take a job spec from a client is... Number one, company, just asking all about the company. Number two, the job itself and the breakdown. Number three, now let's talk about the person you're looking for. Tell me about that. How are they going to show you that interview? Number four, I talk about the what I call points of appeal. Okay, look, how am I going to sell this job? Tell me about that, and I take detail on that. Then decision-making process, and then I flip it around and say, okay, out of everything you've told me, what's the X factor? What's the most important thing you want? Where do I start my search? Now, I normally ask 10 or 15 questions, but I think the other thing is the big skill in a recruiter is not the ability to talk, but the ability to listen and the ability to take that on board. So when I'm taking the spec, it's not about reading a list of questions out, like a shopping list, but listening to the answer and saying, right, okay, you've told me you want a good team player. What does that mean? What do they look like? What demonstrates that? Really, really understanding the requirement so that when I ring the client back and say, look, ringing them back half an hour later, we've spent 45 minutes an hour going through your requirement. I've got someone I want you to see. I think they're right. All the trust is there. They'll turn around to me and say, yeah, fine, we'll see them. I'll send you the CV so you've got something to interview from.
Okay, last question. MN Headhunter, do you want to ask a question? He says he likes you. He's told the Twitter world that he likes you. Anything you want to ask, Bill? You got 2 minutes.
No, man. I think he's right about the social media piece. I think a lot of you guys, and I'm saying you guys because there might be a couple on the call that think that some of us do is sit on Twitter all day. It is an entry to that phone conversation. And I think what Bill was saying earlier about, you know, when you walk into someone's office and it's dead quiet, man, that's recipe for disaster.
Okay. Anything else, Bill? Your parting words?
Parting words. If you want to have a look at my general tips, either look at the website, which you've given out earlier. Or
give it again. Oh, come on, don't cut me off. I'm telling you, your website, it's the most important thing. BILLBOORMAN.UK. No,
.co.uk.
You know, that's dumb to have that suffix.
Yeah,
Bill
the
Poole.
UK's got to go, man.
The UK's
yeah.
got to go. I'll take advice from experts, so I'll always listen. Now,
we are experts.
The other place to look is LinkedIn. I do a lot of my brand work on LinkedIn, and I run a group which is the Good News Group Recruiters, which exists purely to publish good news and good things are going on in the market. I'd love to get some good news stories from the States because it's very European at the moment. So you know,
and do you get business from LinkedIn? Yes or no?
Yes.
Really?
Quite
from marketing
lot,
yourself on LinkedIn?
Quite a lot. But I actually get it by the two tips I'd give anyone who wants to work on LinkedIn is number one, 10 links a day with targeted individuals rather than general things. Post in a group every day, something of value. When people read things which are of value, like what you're about, they come back to you. And also use the polls and questions to drive your PR from the answers because it gives you...
Okay,
really
so if someone's working
stuff.
In... Last question. If someone's working in IT,
yeah.
then they shouldn't contribute to a recruiter's group. They should contribute to an IT group. Is that right?
Take their personal development from a recruiter's group but contribute to an IT group. That's how you're going to get known. That's where your candidates and clients are.
Thank you, Bill Boorman. Goodbye.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you all.
Come on now.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.